5.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. Today, we've got another candidate interview as we continue to cover races of interest around Oregon and locally as well. Democratic candidate for governor, Tina Kotek, on with us now. Tina, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle. Nice to be back.
So overall, how do you feel like your campaign is going right now?
I just have to say it is a privilege and just a real honor to be running for governor. And the opportunity to meet so many people around the state is the best part of this campaign. And feel good about everything we're doing. It's one of those things where you work as hard as you can and you want to be on the winning end at the end of the day and do it in a way where you can treat people with respect, you know, talk to as many people as you can. And I feel good about where we are. I just want to say thanks to everyone who's been spending time with me over the summer. You know, people can do a lot of things in the summer, but talking to candidates isn't always at the top of their list. But I've just been so impressed by every Oregonian I've talked to. They really want to solve problems, and it's just been a real honor to do that.
Now, talk about recent polls. Everything I've seen seems to indicate this is going to be a close race in November.
Yeah, this is a real race. This is the first open governor's race in decades at this point, where you have three. I mean, it's historic that we have three women major candidates. I think there'll be some other women running in other parties as well. So it is close, and it's going to be up to each of us to communicate to voters about what our track record is and what our vision is for the state. So, yeah, it's every vote's going to count, and you just need people to be active and read up on their candidates.
Do you feel like it's going to stay close up till Election Day?
I do, because, like I said, Oregon voters are making a very important hire. They're hiring their CEO of the state for the next 4 years. For me, I'm in this race because I want to solve problems. And we know what those problems are. They're right front and center for everybody. We have a housing issue. We have homelessness issues around our state. We have, crime is up. People are worried about addiction and what's happening to families who are being destroyed by addiction. Wildfires, drought. We know what the problems are. What we need in our next governor is someone who can solve problems. And that's why I'm running to be governor. To listen to people, figure out solutions and solve problems with them, because we got a few things we have to fix right now.
Well, talk about the homeless situation in Oregon. What direction or what ideas do you have in dealing with that?
Yeah, thank you for the question. Well, first off, I just want to congratulate the city of Roseburg and everyone who's been working on the Navigation Center that just opened up. I'm just thrilled that it's named after Representative Gary Leaf. Gary and I worked together to get state money to help open up a navigation center in Roseburg, where there'll be an opportunity for shelter for people in Douglas County who need it. I think one of the things as governor that I just want to emphasize, you know, I want to have this job and really talk about how do we keep people, how do we make sure they have help in the communities in which they live right now? If you become homeless in Roseburg, can't pay for your housing or something's going on and you're without a house, you can stay in your community where people know you, get back on your feet, get back into regular housing. I'd like to have that happen around the state. And one of the ways we're going to do that is make sure we have more people working on the streets with people, new street outreach teams to talk with people, build those relationships and say, hey, what can I do to help you out? Can I get you into a shelter? Can I help you get into an apartment and, you know, have long-term housing? We're going to have to do that one-on-one, tent-by-tent conversation to get there. And I have a plan to do that. I think we also have to increase access to mental health and addiction treatment, because some people who are experiencing homelessness right now have a mental health issue or an addiction issue, and they need help. And so making sure those treatment services are available. And then honestly, Kyle, this is a statewide issue. We have to just build more housing. We have to have a conversation in each community about how we increase the availability of housing that people can afford. So we don't have people living on the streets anymore. So we got to do it all. And I look forward to working with every community to solve this problem with them.
The addiction issue is one that has gotten a lot of attention, and it seems like it drives a significant part of the homeless situation. You talked about increasing mental health services. Do we need to look at some of the laws that have been put into place regarding narcotics and things like that? Do we need to take a second look at some of that?
Well, we definitely have an addiction crisis in our state. We're at the bottom of the list compared to other states about what we're doing to help people when they're ready for recovery. And as governor, I want to make sure we have a system that works for people. No matter where you live, when you're ready to get clean, you have a place to go to get help. And, you know, voters did pass Measure 110, which said it is better to get people to have treatment than send them into the jails. And there has to be treatment available. And right now I'm really frustrated that we're not following through on that promise to voters because, you know, the state can't move the money that should be going out to increase treatment. That's going to, when I'm governor, we're going to make sure that money is moving, that communities have what they need. Because I do think when people are living, you know, outside for a long amount of time, you know, it's very tough, particularly if you have an addiction issue, to get back on your feet. And, that is really about treatment more than anything else. And we have to get those dollars for treatment out. We have to make sure the communities have that support to support their neighbors who are having problems. It's a healthcare issue, and we have to make sure there's access to that healthcare.
Some people in the business community say Oregon government has not been business friendly enough in recent years. What are your thoughts?
I think Oregon can be more business friendly. And here are the three things that are priorities for me. One, we have regulations on the books that are meant to keep people safe and make sure people are following the rules that, you know, when it relates to pollution or other things. The problem is that for people to get their permits and to observe those regulations, sometimes it takes a long time. So my commitment to business is like, if you need a permit, I'm going to make sure state government is more consumer friendly, customer service friendly. You can get your permit faster. You can get through the system faster. So you can go on about whatever business you're trying to build or expand. That's a problem right now. The other issue is workforce. You know, we want businesses to grow. We want to bring new businesses to Oregon. We have to have the workforce that they need to be successful. So supporting our community colleges, supporting our workforce system, giving people a place to go like, well, I've had this job, but I need to have these new skills to get to the next job, making sure that's available. That's important for employers. So as governor, I want to make sure we're making sure the workforce is there. And then lastly, I got to come back to housing again. When you're trying to grow your company and people can't live close, that's a problem. And we have, you know, individuals, for example, on the coast that have to drive an hour and a half to get one way to get to work because there's nowhere to live close to where they work. That's got to be different because that's a problem for employers and businesses, and it is a problem for the community.
What about the issue, and we've heard it for probably decades now, of this urban-rural divide? It's almost like in some ways there's kind of two states in one.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we're all feeling that. I'm running for governor because I believe that when all of our communities everywhere around the state succeed and have what they need, then our entire state is successful. So Portland has to work better, but Roseburg also needs things, right? So, and it's been a tough couple years. My job as governor, if I'm have the honor of having the job, is to make sure that we're listening to what our rural communities need by being present in the community, getting outside of Salem, sitting down with leaders, hearing what their concerns are, hearing what their ideas for solutions are, and being a strong partner to help get there. The urban-rural divide, I think, when you talk about things that we all care about, good schools, housing, access to health care, you start with those issues, and we actually have more common ground than we probably realize. I know one of the issues that's important for rural parts of our state is water. I just had dinner the other night, or at least appetizers, with my former colleagues, one Democrat, one Republican, two legislators who are working together to bring attention to Oregon's water crisis. I want to support efforts like that. When legislators of both parties are coming together to say, we have to solve our water crisis. That's the kind of work I want to support. And I think that's the kind of work that's happening out there. We just don't tend to talk about it as much. So let's support that. Let's elevate it. And let's work together to solve these problems.
More with Tina Kotek when we come back to interview a podcast after 1-541-radio.com. Inside Douglas County, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. Inside Douglas County tomorrow, County Commissioner Chris Boyce will be in studio talking about things happening recently in coastal Douglas County, focusing on the Reedsport area on tomorrow's program. Democratic candidate for Governor Tina Kotek on with us now, covering a lot of different issues. I'm curious, when you go into a role being governor, if you're elected, what kind of leadership style are you going to bring with you to that role?
Well, thank you for that question. I think that is a key piece of the choice that voters are going to have to make this year. We have three leading candidates who have all served in the legislature, but it's like, how do they do their work and who has the track record of getting things done? For me, first of all, I work really hard. My parents grew up in the Depression. We had a very strong work ethic when I was growing up. So I work hard. I care about the details about things. And I listen to people. I think that is an important part of being a leader, to listen, to hear what people are coming up with in terms of solutions. I actually think I played sports when I was in high school, and I was the point guard on a basketball team. And I think my leadership style is like taking the ball down the court, making sure it goes to the right person who can, you know, get to the basket. It's not about me. It's about making sure the whole team succeeds. And I think that is an important piece of leadership. And right now, people want the next governor to be transparent, and communicate clearly with Oregonians about what the challenges are, but what's at stake and how we can solve it. So my leadership style is about working hard, being transparent, and getting things done for people, because that's what we need right now.
It seems like a lot of the recent legislative sessions have featured a lot of basically each party not getting along with each other and kind of stalemates on issues and things like that. How do you get both sides of the aisle to work together better?
Yeah, well, again, I think it's focusing on things where we have common ground, things that we know are important issues, and reaching consensus on how to solve them. And it's not easy, but I got to be, you know, I've been a legislator for 15 years, 9 years as Speaker of the Oregon House. My job was literally to bring people together, both sides of the aisle, to come up with good legislation and get it over the finish line. And so I've done that work, and as governor, you get a different opportunity to step back from that process. And if people aren't getting along, invite them over for, you know, dinner at the residence and say, okay, I see people aren't getting along. How do we get along? How can I help you broker a deal? I really think that's the role of the governor when it comes to the legislature not getting along with each other. I'm going to be a lot more proactive there, because a governor can do that, you know, elevate the conversation, get people to talk about things differently and solve problems together. And we're going to have a lot of good conversations if the legislature is not getting along, because they need to get along in order to make sure Oregonians have what they need.
Talk about the state financial situation right now. We've seen a big infusion of federal funds coming through this part of the COVID pandemic. What do you do with some of the things that have been set up now or been funded through the pandemic? And those funds are obviously short term. So is that going to cause some issues in the next year or two?
We do have some one-time money coming that has come from the federal government because of the pandemic. And there are additional dollars coming from the Infrastructure Act and now the Inflation Reduction Act that's getting signed. As hopefully Oregon's next governor, making sure that that money is being distributed fairly across the state, making sure communities have what they need. And it's a lot of one-time money. And by that, I mean, it's you can't really set up things that you have to pay for year after year. But one-time money is really important to say, you know, it's about time we fix that water system in this town. It's about time we fix that road in that place. You know, those are one-time things that can build for the future. And so as governor, I want to make sure we're being strategic, that all parts of their state are getting what they need, and making sure local government in particular feels supported, because local governments have money too. And we should see some connection between if the state money and the county money, for example, or the state money and the city money is being used, you know, if they're linked and really working together, you can make your money go further. So those are the kind of conversations we want to have with people.
Talk about the state transportation system. We hear a lot sometimes in Southern Oregon about the Interstate 5 bridge into Washington. That's of less concern to people down here. But when you take the whole state and look at the aging infrastructure and the transportation needs, what kinds of priorities do you feel like the Oregon Department of Transportation and working with other partner agencies should be working on for the future?
Yeah, well, we have to make sure our roads are safe, that they can be maintained for the future. In 2017, I helped make sure we passed the last big transportation package here in the state was back in 2017 that we're now, you know, the projects are funded right now. I believe in replacing the I-5 bridge across the Columbia. That is a project of statewide significance. If we can't move, you know, product north of Portland in a regular fashion, that affects the whole state. So we got to replace the bridge. We have to make sure we have safe bridges, making sure they're not going to, you know, fall down in a seismic event. We have put more money towards those things. And I think locally, making sure that our highways are well maintained and safe, because we have to move people, we need to move freight. And I think we have a strong plan. However, it takes oversight. Everything in state government takes oversight. And as governor, I'm going to ask hard questions, make sure that, you know, we're spending things smartly and in a way that every part of the state has what they need. And with the new money coming down from the federal government for infrastructure, we have to make sure we're having, okay, what's in the list? We've had things on the list for years that need fixed. Let's make sure we, you know, move those things up the list and get them done. Because this is jobs, this is economic development, this is the future of providing for our state. So infrastructure is a really important conversation.
Are there some state agencies that you feel should be shifting their priorities? I mean, if you walked in as governor, are there areas that you would like to see the agencies work a little differently or focus a little differently on certain areas?
Well, overall, I want to make sure that state government is more consumer friendly, customer friendly. You know, when you need something from the state, it's easy to get and it's transparent. We certainly have been through a lot with what happened with unemployment benefits. We can do a better job. And so we should be, a more customer friendly government, and that is a priority for me. In terms of the agencies, you know, the governor is in charge of making sure state government functions. Right now, my major focus is on the Oregon Health Authority because of our mental health and addiction crisis in the state. I want to make sure that we have the right leadership and the right structure in place that the Oregon Health Authority can function in a way that people get access to mental health and addiction treatment. That is my number one focus in terms of the agencies on day one. The other thing is making sure we're moving forward on housing policy that helps people, make sure we help people who are living on the streets. So healthcare and housing are the things I'll be taking, you know, a hard look at in the very first days of my administration.
As you've been out and about this summer, what are some of the concerns that seem to come up regardless of which part of the state you're in?
It really is housing all the time. And if it's not about how we help people living on the streets, it's about I can't afford my housing, or there's not enough housing, or my housing's old and not very safe. I can't overstress how much housing is a conversation for the entire state. And on day one of my administration, we're going to talk about putting people together to say, how do we build more housing? We need to build 36,000 units of housing per year for the next decade to actually get ahead of the gap that we have right now. And that means everywhere. So I look forward to being down in Douglas County and in Roseburg and saying, okay, how do we help you meet your housing needs? Going out to Burns, going over to Newport, going over to Wallawa, wherever it takes to make sure people can have the housing they need to live in the parts of the state that they want to live in.
As you have been, you know, in the legislature for a long time, you were speaker for a number of years. Is there anything about your way of doing things or just about some of your ideas that people you think maybe misunderstand about you?
Well, I think that what I would love people to know is that I'm an advocate. I came into doing this work 20 plus years ago, working at Oregon Food Bank, listening to people about why are you coming in for emergency food, even if, like, for example, you're working two or three jobs. I've always wanted to make things better for folks, make sure people have the basics. That has not changed. I am an advocate. I will always fight hard for people who feel left behind. And, you know, I'll push people to take care of other folks. I just will. That's who I am. And so I believe in being clear and decisive and saying, look, we've got to just go with something. And the other thing I think people should know is I believe in getting to yes. I believe in figuring out a way where we can all be successful. And again, I don't think you walk off the job or say no. You got to get to yes. You got to figure out how people can solve a problem together. And I am not going to give up until we take on our biggest challenges.
Give us information on your website, how people can find out more about your thoughts.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you can go to tinafororegon.com and you'll see a list of priorities there and other ways to get involved. And look forward to seeing people on the road. 85 days to go before the general election, and just really appreciate the time today.
Democratic candidate for Governor Tina Kotek, thanks for being on Inside Douglas County.
Thank you so much. You have an awesome day.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.